So, real quick, how many people in the room can say that your company has been named the top workplace culture in your state? Anybody? Well, you're about to hear from somebody. I have another question. One more. Maybe not, you know, the top in your state, but one more. Maybe Inc. Magazine has listed your company as one of the top 400 workplace cultures in the whole United States. Anybody raise your hand? Let's. No? This Inc. Magazine? INC. Not INX, you know, not that one, right? Yeah, we got two. Woo! Give it up. But I said I had three questions. And the last one, I just want to ask you guys a real question. How many of you have been blessed by Sherry Perry? Sherry Perry is one of those amazing, incredible people that just gives and gives and gives and gives. And then when you think she's got nothing else to give, she just keeps on giving and giving some more. I got to see Sherry one time, went over there to their place, and things were very different back then than how things are now. They have an amazing organization, amazing culture, amazing set of people. You could talk all sorts of results, but you know what? You got somebody right here. And those of you that have met Bella, anybody in here? Say yes. Yeah. Woo! Liz Wiseman talks in her book, Multipliers. One of the most important things that you can do is to multiply yourself as a leader. You're about to hear from somebody who has done that, not just once, twice, or three times, but continues to do it every single day. So do me a favor, everybody in the room, please stand up and help me to welcome Sherry Perry!
Hey, I'm on. Okay. Also, we want to check that mic. And take one. Ma'am, hello. I'm here because of Johnny.
Excuse me one moment, please. I'm working.
Excuse me.
Okay, listen. I saw you coming up. You're here every week, and we all know that your problems, I mean your son, has problems.
Maybe the problem is not with me.
I'll be with you in a minute.
Ma'am.
I'll be with you in a minute.
I need to speak with the principal.
Everybody wants to speak with the principal. You monopolize that calendar multiple times. I would love to help you, but you need to calm down.
Calm down.
You rocked in here like you had a bunch of stuff going on. We got other people to work with besides, we want to help your son. We would like to help you, maybe. But we really need to just take it as a step-by-step basis. So your child has challenges, we get it. But there's a lot of people in the school that we're trying to work with.
But I am here now.
Yeah, you're here now, and you're not going to see the principal today. So, I can call you back, I can let you know later, but you can't just come in and demand the time. We want to help, but we're going to have to do it on our time.
What is your name?
My name is Sherry Perry.
I'll remember that.
Please do. Good job, Bella! So we've been talking about making lots of money in our companies, and we've been talking about charging, raising our prices. And you heard Ellen Rohr say yesterday that in order to raise your price, you have to do what?
Be better.
You got to be better than whatever the heck that was. How many of you have had a poor service experience? Can I see your hand? Raise your hand high. It should be everybody in the room. It's pretty common, and you usually get it for free. Right? So 2 years ago, we were hired to come in and talk to one of the largest school districts in Chicago. And I'll tell you the little story, because what you just watched was just a quick reenactment of Johnny's mother coming into the school district. And the challenge they were having is they had absolute issues with their staff, because their staff was worn out, and with their parents, because their parents were worn out, and with the kids. It was a triple whammy, and it was not a good situation. We got referred by a credit union, so I think it's important for you to note, we own a credit card processing company. How did we end up at one of the largest school districts teaching on customer service? That's part of the diversity that Howard talked about. So we do a lot of things for our clients, and our credit union gentleman said, Sherry, you've come in and helped us with customer service. Can you help the school district? And I said, I can. So Renee, who's on our team, how many of you know Renee?
Yeah.
Right? Make sure and tell her she got that. She's going to love that. We were going to try to do the little skit on the screen, because Renee was, you know, we had a very special moment. 2 days before the event, here's what happened. I'm talking to Renee. We're lining everything out. She, at the time, lived in Chicago. I was in Washington. And we're talking it through. Oh, by the way, this was a prop. So I'm not, yeah, clears up. So we're talking through the presentation, and Renee says, well, I hear what you're talking about as far as the first part of the presentation, which is the opener and the end part, but what about the 5 breakout sessions? That's exactly how quiet it was, because I had no idea that there were any breakout sessions. So here's the story of delivering an excellent level of service with grace. And you guys are going to do a little work. So while I'm telling you the quick story, grab a handout on the table, because you're going to do a little work with me here today. So I fly to Chicago. I do not have the 5 breakout sessions, but here's what I know. I'm a deliverer. You can put me in at the last minute and something good is going to happen. That's just what we do. We're going to roll like that. So in the hotel, the evening before the event, it's probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I guess, Renee and I decide to go down and walk on the treadmill. And as I'm walking on the treadmill, I get the word grace. And when I say I get the word grace, what I'm telling you is, my name's on this book, but I didn't write it. We went back up to the room, and I literally started just throwing it all down on the paper. Grace, G, giving people permission to be human. If you want to write that down, you can. I'll say it lots of times. G, giving people permission to be human. Giving people permission to be human. R, this one's my favorite, resist the urge to react. That's not easy all the time. Resist the urge to react. Right? A, accept and acknowledge our differences. Accept and acknowledge our differences. C, clearly communicate, which is kind of ironic considering I'm the night before the presentation, and that lack of clear communication is the reason why we have an issue with no breakout sessions. So, clear communication, clearly communicating. And then finally, the E is expect a win-win solution. So when Johnny's mom came into the school that morning, and this was a real live event that actually happened, and I wish I would have been popping my gum. I mean, when they told the story of what actually happened, I thought, how did we not fire somebody? It was very bad. But if they would have fired her, here's what the supervisor said, Sherry, we'd have to fire almost every single staff member. Because here's what happens in your company. As soon as you allow something, you basically give it permission. So if you've got a service situation, or you've got, we talked in the leadership class about somebody who's tardy in a company, and what happens is one person's tardy, and then two people are tardy, and then three people are tardy, and then nobody shows up on time. Because we get what we tolerate, right? So in the school district in Chicago, it was a very, very negative work environment. Because they tolerated that kind of garbage. Because let's be real, when we have clients or customers that are calling us, they're bringing their A game, and what does the A stand for? Attitude, right? They're normally not calling us to say, oh, hi, it was so, you know, I want to talk. They've got a problem, because our job is to solve problems. So the challenge was, is you're in Chicago, it's a little saucy in Chicago anyway. Everybody naturally comes with a little bit of attitude. Now you put that on top of people who feel overworked, underappreciated, with situations with kids that are just crazy today, which is why I'm so thankful for the work that we do here in the inner circle with kids, right? It's really important. But that's just a recipe for disaster. So Johnny's mom comes into the office one day, and literally, that's almost exactly what happened. She was irritated. The girl behind the counter lost her mind and just was rude as could be. It ended up being elevated to the superintendent, which is actually how my client at the credit union found out about it at a board meeting. So you have the sheet on your desk, and here's my question to you. Let's start with G. I wonder what would happen with Johnny's mom and Sherry if Sherry would have given Johnny's mom permission to be human. How many of you have kids? Raise your hand. How many have kids? How many of your kids were perfect angels and they just never messed up ever? Go ahead and read. You write a book. Somebody needs to know how you did that. But most of us have experienced that. And I'll tell you, my son didn't get in very much trouble, but when he did, I'm telling you what, I was go to guns mama. I mean, obviously something happened to my little cherub and you were responsible for it, which is exactly what we saw with Bella coming up here and just wanting to basically defend, right? So the question around the table, you're gonna get a couple of minutes. How could giving Johnny's mother permission to be human have changed the interaction between the gal at the desk and Johnny's mom? And you've got a couple minutes to do that. So go ahead and start thinking and coming up with some ideas. All right. Okay, somebody's hand that pops up, you're going to go first, and I'm so sorry. Bella, do you have the microphone? Bella? Would you mind giving this microphone to whoever puts their hand up? Somebody share. What's one of the, what's something you came up with at your table? Yeah, go ahead. Thank you, Pat.
Testing.
It worked.
So we thought that it would have been nice if Sherry, I'm going to use your names, Sherry had actually listened to Bella, because as soon as she came up, she said...
What do you mean? I heard her.
As soon as she came up, she interrupted her.
What? And
but honestly, Bella, I think it would have been very helpful if someone had listened to her so that she felt heard. You know, she had a problem that she was very obviously concerned with. And if you had taken just a few seconds or a few minutes to listen to her, it would have made, I think, diffuse the situation some if she knew that someone was actually listening to what she was saying.
Yeah. Yeah, woohoo! Yeah.
And by the way, it was a general consensus at our table that you never say calm down to a woman under any circumstances.
Right? That's my favorite. Calm down. You're too loud. I never heard any of those things before.
In almost any situation, I'm a pastor, so I get in a lot of situations. I think there's a thing I like to go, it's kind of a principle, feel, felt, found.
Ah.
I know how you feel.
I felt very irritated.
I felt the same way.
I've never felt that way because I didn't have kids.
But here's what I found.
And I found that she needed to exit the stage. I'm messing with you right now, of course. But
oh, I know,
this
but...
This is the before, right?
Oh, I understand
but
completely.
Right. Feel, felt, found.
Yeah. I understand completely. I felt the same way before.
Right. Uh-huh. It's excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Here's three things to write down under G. You ready? In order to give people permission to be human, guess who you have to start with? You got to start with yourself. It's possible that Sherry could have been a really, really great receptionist normally. We don't know what happened, right? Something happened. But you have to start with yourself first. You have to give yourself permission to be human. You're not going to be perfect. The water walking position was taken quite a few years ago. All right? Number two, you also have to start with your coworkers. The one thing that I didn't share with you was that as they watched Johnny's mother walk in, here was the banter beforehand. Oh my God, here comes Johnny's mom. And everybody in the office chimed in. So by the time Johnny's mother got to the office, this young lady knew she was in for a fight. And so she came prepared. Right? So the second one, go ahead.
And she was probably alone because all the coworkers left.
They were, that's what happens. In fact, we work with a lot of financial institutions, and when our financial institution partners tell us, here's what they tell us, Sherry, when somebody walks into a branch, everybody disappears and it's like crickets because nobody wants to work with businesses. Yeah. So it's a problem to solve, which is good. It's why we have a job. We're excited about that. Number three is you want to go ahead and do the same thing for your clients. It's okay to be irritated if you're Johnny's mom. I made it wrong right out of the gate. And that's not giving permission for people to be human. All right? How about the R? Now, this one's my favorite because this one is the hardest one for me. Because, man, how many of you are good with the comeback? How many of you are like, listen, this is my gift. God said, listen, if there's going to be a smart aleck comment to be made, give it to Sherry. I got you. No problem. Resisting the urge to react is one of the best ways to prevent conflict. We were talking about conflict and leadership with Santiago's class, and I tell people all the time, I love conflict. I really do. I don't enjoy conflict for the sake of conflict, but I do enjoy conflict for what happens afterwards. You fix something with conflict, but you can't do that if you don't resist the urge to react. What would have happened, and Pat already gave us a little bit of an insight on this one, but what would have happened, this is your round table session, just a minute or so. What would have happened if Sherry would have, how about if Sherry or Johnny's mama would have resisted the urge to react? How would that have changed it up a little bit? Go ahead and talk about that for a minute.
Thank you.
Okay, Bella, you want to grab that mic again? Oh, somebody else has it? Okay. Who has the microphone? Austin. 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 There he is. Austin, grab the first hand you see because we want to get it. Okay, we got Glenn right up here who wants to share really quickly. Go ahead, Glenn.
I'm sorry, Jerry.
Hey, don't be sorry. You're doing it great. That's no problem.
Hey, everybody. So what's the question?
What did your table come up with on resisting the urge?
We said initially you want to pause, give time to listen and think about what's going to be said next.
Yeah, but she was so irritating.
Well,
how do you pause?
You don't want to just throw out fire to fight fire. You want to pause and listen. We also suggested that you don't use negative words to infuse the situation even more. So you stay away from any negativity, and you don't blame. You don't blame that person or anybody else around you, or go there. Just don't blame. Stay away from all the negatives.
Yeah, excellent. Anybody else? Anybody else want to chime in? How in the heck? Go ahead, right behind. There we go.
I was just going to say probably every table had, like, well, you just got to count really far. Like, I could count to 50, but in the meantime, my face is telling you my whole reaction. And Katie mentioned that the reaction is usually bigger than words. So yeah. you have to do more than put your words in check. Your whole body might have to go in check. You know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean. Because how many of you have not responded right away, but your face gave you away? That's me, 100%. So there's three things for you to write down under the R. Number one, you want to stop. A freight train came through the door. That's Johnny's mom. We're very familiar with Johnny's mom. She's here one or two times a week because Johnny's got a little problem going on at school, right? But we need to stop, take a breath, and do what Pat said, actually listen to Johnny's mother. Because my guess is that Johnny's mom's got a lot of stuff going on, and maybe Johnny and this challenge is not the only challenge in her life, right? Number two, you want to look. What does the person's body language tell you? Did you notice that when Bella came up here, she didn't wait like a S would wait, waiting till I was ready. She didn't wait to be invited in. She bonsaied right up to my desk, and she was in my face. Did you notice that? Those are called clues, right? This might be a problem. So we need to stop, we need to look, we need to see, read the situation, and give ourselves the opportunity to not respond, to not react initially. The third one is listen. And Pat, you did such a great job on this. But in order to resolve a challenge, you got to get great at listening. And it's bigger than that. You have to get great at listening from the heart. Because there's going to be some stuff that Johnny's mom isn't going to say. And I've got to be listening enough for her to feel heard and hopefully to de-escalate the situation. So you got to stop, you got to look, and you got to listen. Yes.
Listen to learn.
Let's get you a microphone.
Listen to learn, not answer.
That's right. Listen to learn and understand, not to respond. Resisting the urge. This also goes right along with DISC. We've done some DISC work for the school district as well. And people are wired, and some of these things, like me, I'm a high DI personality, I'm all about responding right away. So you got to get good at it. Pat, did you want to share one more thing? Go ahead.
We also recalled the excellent example of our speaker this morning who, rather than responding to a nasty internet comment, sent a card with a Starbucks.
Yes.
guard in it and completely diffuse that situation. So
yeah.
there's a scripture that says a soft word turns away wrath, turns away anger. It's a perfect example of that.
Thank you. That's awesome. Okay, how about the A, accept and acknowledge our differences. In the real scenario, we had a 20-something-year-old receptionist, no kids, no spouse, no big corporate job, working with a busy businesswoman with a career that she's late for 2-3 times a week, with a husband, they had some challenges in their marriage, and with a son that was crazy. These two people, at first view, don't have a lot of things in common. And so it's very simple when we don't have a lot of things in common to look at the situation through your goggles, right? So when we accept and acknowledge our differences, something changes. So that's your question. What would have happened between Johnny's mother and Sherry if both of them would have accepted and acknowledged the differences that they had? So go ahead and chew on that one for a couple minutes. Okay. Let's find somebody who hasn't already participated. What did you find out at your table? Somebody raise your hand. It's a good conversation, isn't it? What did you find out about accepting and acknowledging the differences? Raise your hand. There we go, right behind you. Thank you.
Yeah, so while we were discussing it back and forth and while we could see both sides of the situation, when you're in business or serving someone, as a school system would be, we kind of agreed that the first thing you want to do is acknowledge that while I'm not standing in your shoes, I do empathize and I do understand that we need to work this out, and I'm going to assure you that we're going to do everything we can to help you.
That sounds really nice. Maybe that would have changed it up a little bit, huh? Anybody else? Let's get one more. Jane, maybe two, we'll see. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if they could be prepared enough for this situation, so I thought maybe they need systems and a checklist.
Yeah. Do you think that a little DISC training might have been helpful prior to this? We're gonna come up to James, right? So if somebody bonsais in the door, we're probably a high D personality. If you have the right team, you want to make sure you have the right person available to handle the situation. And a system around helping somebody who maybe knows, hey, this is a frequent visitor to the office, we're definitely going to need a system to know how to deal with it, right? What you got?
I think basically both of you just gave what I was going to say. You need some empathy. Whoever's going to be in that customer service role or whoever is receiving has got to be mature themselves to be able to stop, you know, what you were just said, you know, look, listen, and feel the empathy piece is, where is this person coming and what are they bringing to my table and how do I view it through my lens? But I really got to view it through their lens, and that's where the DISC training comes in. You got to have an emotionally intelligent person that can control their emotion if they're on that receiving end. And I don't know if your two characters have that. That's why they're fighting with each other.
That's take two. So here's the really cool thing about what you just said. The only reason a financial services company gets referred by a financial services company to a school district is because they know about the tools. And the tool can help. And the training can help. I'm guessing, based on what I know about the school district, that they say, hey, welcome to the school district, here's your pen, here's your pens, here's your material. People just come in at school, everybody loves it, and good luck, and go to work. And that's pretty much the kind of training they had in place. They had policies and procedures around when to show up, where to park, what to wear. They had no training on how to deal with the different personalities that come into that office. It's real hard to accept and acknowledge differences if you don't recognize who you are and you don't have any idea what other people, how other people are. Here's three things to consider. Number one, just like Donkey in the movie Shrek, we all have layers. I think there's more to Sherry than what you saw. I'm just guessing, right? I'm pretty sure there's more to Johnny's mama than what we saw. And if we take the time to get to know the person underneath the layers, we're probably going to find something that we like. In fact, the second thing is when we do unwrap those layers, we have a much better opportunity at disarming the challenge. There's something that these two women have in common. A, they're both women. B, they both have something to do. C, they both have something else to do besides the situation that they're in. Just those three things alone gives them some reasons to work some stuff out. And then the third thing is that without judgment, it's a lot easier to solve a conflict. The entire office chimed in about, oh my God, it's Johnny's mom, such a pain in the rear. Johnny's such just a bad kid, and you know, it's just a waste of our time. With all of that judgment, how in the world was this young woman gonna help and administer to the needs of Johnny's mother? And the truth is, she was not. So that's A. How about C, clearly communicate. So in my little book, it says the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. Oh, they were communicating, but they weren't hearing each other at all. It was horrible. Most of the time, a tone, a word, a look, a stance, the way you hold your body has everything to do with the way you're communicating. And if we don't take the time to train our people to be really good at that, I'm telling you, something happened in 2020 that we did not expect in our company. So we have a national credit card processing company. Most of the calls that we get are good. We don't get a lot of bad calls. Every once in a while we do, but pretty soon the phone was ringing off the hook with people crying, businesses going out of business, I don't know what to do. And our team was not prepared or train for that because it's not what we did. In order to be able to have a great end result, we had to clearly communicate about how to respond to those people on the phone. If we didn't do that, I don't even know what 2020 would have been. As it turns out, we were A-okay, which was good, right? So that's your question. How could clearly communicating, and think of the different parts of the scenario, how did Johnny's mom communicate? How did Sherry communicate to Johnny's mom? If there was ever going to be a resolution, how was that communicated? So how could clearly communicating have changed that situation? Go ahead and talk about that for a couple minutes.
Thank you.
All right, Austin, you ready to find our next contestant? All right.
I'm ready.
Who's got something on the clearly communicating? There we go. Thank you. Here we go, guys.
Of course, Randall's going to be the one.
Here we go. Thank you, Randy.
Yes, I am, man. I guess I got nominated. I think, and it never did ever come up in any of these, but I think the whole thing could have changed and started from the very start if it would have been a direct look over and start with a sincere apology. You don't have to be right. You don't have to be wrong to apologize, but it takes the heat out of everything immediately when you sincerely look at somebody and just express that you are so sorry, and not so much for the situation, but how they're feeling. I think that would have changed everything.
Let me ask a question. Let's say the exact same thing happened, that exact same initial interaction happened, and Sherry stopped after being rude and set her step down and said, "Wow, did I just respond to you like that? I'm so sorry. It's been a day." That apology that you're talking about, we're going to redo the situation, but we're going to make like it never happened and do it over. So, but that's a great point. You can interject in the middle of a crappy situation and fix it. And that's one of the best ways to do it. Thank you, Randy.
You're welcome.
Somebody else. Right here. Oh, okay, go ahead.
As far as the clear communication, as the employee there, she should automatically understand that most people don't come to the principal office for good things. Normally when a parent show up, it may be concerning, so she should have already been ready to accept whatever communication was given to her in order so she can break it down and communicate clearly with the other, with the mother. So,
thank you. What's your first name?
Jerome Thomas with Soapy Suds, Georgia.
Thank you, Jerome. So here's the beautiful thing about that. You're exactly right. She should have been prepared. She was not. Because a lot of times, and think about this in your companies, right? How much time and energy and effort are you spending on teaching people how to deal with the worst case scenario? How to deal with what happens when somebody's not happy with the work you did? How to deal with the person you get on the phone and, you know, they're not responding the way that you want? We sometimes, expected my staff members, listen, it's common sense. Are we all laughing right now? I'm going to say it again, and you tell me what you think about it just by some verbal tones. Oh, it's just common sense. As in, there is none. Right? We can't expect our staff members to know what to do. We have to tell them what to do. We have to show them. We have to do some role playing. We have to make sure and arm them with the information, or else they're going to get absolutely blasted by situations. And sometimes the best doesn't come out when you're confronted like that. Go ahead. You had one more. There she is.
Repeating back, but not in a demeaning or undermining way. Because you can say something to someone and think that you're saying it as clear as day.
Right.
And two people will hear it completely differently. So saying back, so what I'm hearing you say is, you know, and I'm really sorry that you feel that way. I understand that this is frustrating. You know, just repeating it back. And if they're like, that's not what I'm saying at all. And then they come back and say something else and then say, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. So what I'm hearing you say is da-da-da-da until you're on the same page, and then they feel like they're being heard.
That's exactly right. It's brilliant. Go ahead, Ken.
You know, the amazing thing is that communication, about 85% of it is nonverbal. And when you were there playing with everything on your desk and you and all that, if you had turned around and faced her, looked at her in the eye with empathy in your eye, and kind of, you didn't have to grab her or anything, but just open up your...
Could I grab her? Because I felt like grabbing her.
I know you probably felt that way, but you didn't do it. But
we're going to the parking lot and work this out. Yeah.
But the nonverbal communication is so important, so that your body language,
yes,
what you're doing. And so you have to make an emotional contact,
yeah,
to make sure you have effective communication.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ken. Get his book. It's so good. Get his book, Gumption. All right. Here's three things for you to write down. One, you already heard it. Listen to what they said, but then repeat it back. And it's really important how you repeat it back. So if I were to say something like, oh, Johnny has problems again, That's not going to help, right? You got to be careful and remove the emotion from it and say, here's what I heard you say, right? We've had people call in and go through whatever's happening, money's not showing up in their checking account, and we've assumed that there's one problem and went on this whole tangent to solve something only to find out that they changed their checking account and didn't let us know. We're looking all over every single platform on the planet trying to find their money. We can't find it because they changed their checking account. We got to ask a better question, right? So get clarity by repeating it and say, hey, did I get that right? Did I get that right? Was there anything else? Because that's really important. The next thing that you want to do is you want to, I think I just said one and two at the same time. Did I get that right, and is there anything else? So one, listen and repeat it back. Two, did I get that right, and is there anything else? Not anything else. Is that it? I mean, is that on the laundry list of things? Could you add anything else? You know, I mean, there's lots of bad ways to say it, so you've got to be very mindful and aware of how you're showing up. And then give the client a specific timeline. The principal may not be available right now. And I know Johnny's mom wanted to see the principal right now, but guess what? She cannot. But me telling her that she can't isn't going to help. And calm down certainly didn't help. So it's very, very important to think about how you're communicating. Let me tell you what the young lady said that was at the counter at the school district. What she actually said was, I'll get to your son's behavioral issues as soon as I can deal with it. I would have come off the hook if I was Johnny's mom. You'll deal with it right now, is what I would have said. Right? So that is the C. How about the E? This one is really important, and if grace was spelled another way, it really probably should have come first. But it's expect a win-win. Expect a win-win. So you guys now know the backstory of what was happening in that office, what the gals were saying, what the lady was doing at the counter, what happened when Johnny's mom came into the office. What would have been different if Sherry and her team expected a win? So talk about that for a quick second, and then we'll come to you and see what you got to say. Are you about ready, Austin? Okay, let's see. What would expecting a win-win solution, you guys can tidy up the conversation. What would have expecting a win-win, how would that have changed it? I just need a couple people real quick. Right here. Thank you, Ro.
I think in that situation, if you kill
that... Oh, hold on a second. Other people are talking. One moment, please. Hey, guys. Here we go. Okay, there you go. You got the floor.
In that situation, if you kill that person with kindness, they tend to feel a little bit guilty that they came in acting that way. So even though if they still have the attitude, your side of that part of that situation is not so bad. Yeah. But if you don't encourage it, you can get a win-win or possibly a win-win. But at least you don't fall down the same rabbit hole that that person does. So just kill them with kindness.
It's so good. So here's what happened to this young woman. As a result of what was overheard in the office by a staff member, it got escalated. She was on a probationary action with her school district, as well as several other people in the office because of that. Let's just say it still went south, and Johnny's mom was just hell-bent on, you know, doing what she had to do, and no matter what Sherry did, no matter how kind she was, no matter what, the situation would have never been escalated to that point if the whole office wouldn't have been throwing fuel on the fire. So you're exactly right. One more person. Who else wants to share on that? There we go. Thank you.
I think if you go for the win-win, essentially it's not a win-lose situation, so you're not competing. So if you go for the win-win, you go to the other side of the counter, yeah. You join her team, and you try and find the answer to the problem once you learn what the problem is. So.
That's right. Yeah. Johnny's mom wants to be right. Sherry wants to be right. And that's a hard place to find the middle if they both have to be right. Here's three things to write down for this one on E. Number one, we always get what we expect, usually. We usually get what we expect, so expect a win. I love Jordan's story too, and I'm glad you brought that up, Pat, because the way he responded to that made such a difference in what happened, and a huge difference, right? So he expected a different result. Maybe not initially. Remember his initial response? Call the lawyer. How do I get him to stop? We're human. That's going to happen. Number two, remember what you put out is oftentimes what you get back. So you've never heard me say this before. You may want to consider your ROV. You may want to consider your rate of vibration. And you may want to consider your impact on the rate of vibration of your entire team. You got to bring awareness. When we have somebody come into our office and they're having a bad day, Bella, you got your mic on?
I do now.
What do we have at our office? And I don't know if y'all have this. It's very special. What do we have at our office when somebody, and we didn't plan this part, so I'm hoping you know the answer.
You're putting me on the spot.
What do we have in our office when somebody comes in and life is beating the crap out of them and they come in a bad mood? Because my whole team is customer service, pretty much. Sales and customer service. What do we have?
The magic door.
And what is the magic door? You guys are going to want to write this one down.
The magic door is a magnificent arch that you walk through, and as soon as you walk through that door, whether you're exiting or entering, you leave all of that behind you. So if you're at work and you have a bad day of people, whatever, overwhelmed, when you walk out that door and you go home, you don't take that with you. If you're having an issue at home, and you're coming into work and you know it's going to distract you and most likely distract your team, you leave it at the door and you let your life happen in that moment. Many, many times I've had staff members say to me, thank goodness for the magic door, for multiple things. I had one of my coworkers, she had to put her dog down. And she came in at the end of the day and she said, I'm so thankful for the magic door because I was able to function and work through my day and feel normal. And then go back home to her kids and, you know, that situation. So it's a beautiful, magical thing. It's something you have to practice.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to know more about the magic door, just send me an email, sherry@gettmc.com, and I'll tell you what we do with the magic door. It's very fun. We got a little American Idol thing that we do where we judge people on how good they are at leaving their stuff at the door. It's very fun. By the way, just really quickly, and I hope that I'm not putting you on the spot, but when you get a diagnosis of breast cancer in your 40s, yeah, or late 30s, whatever.
You know, somewhere around in there.
And your boss says you can take as much time as you want. You don't have to worry about anything. And she says, please let me come to work.
Yeah.
You know that the magic door is working. Yeah. Right? Number three, we also get what we focus on. So knowing you have the best customers and that they deserve the best enables you to give them what they deserve. Right? In 2020, we had a world-altering scenario with 2020. We gave our staff the gift of focus. We asked them every single day to report to the team, what win did you have today? And now it's 2 years later, we still do it because it's so good, because we get what we focus on. We get what we look for, right? So let's see if we can maybe have the situation turn out just a little bit different and redo it, shall we? Oh my goodness. Here we go.
Ma'am. Ma'am.
Hi, Catherine, it's good to see you.
I'm Johnny's mom.
Oh, absolutely. And how is Johnny, by the way?
Well, I was hoping you could tell me that, because I'm here all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he is struggling in some of his classes. Do you have any idea what that might be about?
Maybe. I mean, you know, life's not perfect.
No,
I'm hoping that he can get some stability when he comes here, and it's frustrating. I'm trying to make things work. I come here because I'm constantly being called because of disruption. I feel like he's not even welcome here.
You feel like, so you're saying that you feel like your son's not welcome at school?
Well, if he's constantly getting in trouble, I don't know what to do.
Man, I can see how that would really hurt as a mama.
Yeah.
We have a counselor at the school, and if you would like to schedule a time to talk with the counselor, you could do that with the counselor alone, even before, with Johnny. What do you think would be the best? Because mamas usually know best.
Well, I tend to butt in a bit. And if I do, maybe I'll take the voice away from Johnny.
So would you like to meet with the counselor first?
Yes.
And just kind of start with that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not sure what your schedule is. I know you're busy. We read about you all the time in the newspaper, so you got a lot of stuff going on. It's very cool.
You do?
We do. I know. So why don't we do this? Let me look at the calendar. Right now, they're doing some kind of computer reset, so I can't give you a date right now. But if I call you tomorrow by 10 o'clock, would that be okay? I could leave a message just in case you're at work. I could leave a message, and then we could just make sure to find a time that works the best so that we can try to figure out, get underneath it, and then get this solved for you guys.
That would be amazing.
Can I hug you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Woo! Maybe next time we won't meet in this situation.
Right? So it's the Phenomenal Money Conference, but here's the truth. Your team needs to be trained. Your team needs to know what excellent customer service looks like. There's too many examples of what bad customer service looks like, and here's the deal. If they're immersed in that all the time, they're going to follow suit. You've got to give your team members the gift of a strong work environment that's making money so that there are good benefits and there's opportunity for you to spend time, energy, and effort training them, because that's part of delivering an exceptional customer service experience. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter if it's business or personal, grace, always a good starting point. So thank you for being along with us on our little skit. Bella, thank you so much. And thank you, Howard, for giving us the opportunity to share that. Oh, one more thing. Thank you. Yay, thank you. I love that. Thank you. You guys have some bookmarks. You have some bookmarks on your desk. On the back of that is a QR code. We use the little customer service book for training all the time. We have lots of businesses who just buy it and walk through that training similar to what we just did. Please feel free to jump on the QR code and get some of those if you like, and reach out and call me if you need any help.
It is always a phenomenal day when Sherry Perry is not only in the house, but she's sharing with us. Another big hand clap for Sherry Perry. Can I give you one piece of advice?
Yes.
GetTMC.com. Now, Sherry Your number one fan is right here, and yes, she has something to say to you.
Okay. She sends me little videos.
Here, turn this way.
Yeah.
Sherry Perry phenomenal. Nene's my best Nene. Nene's my best Nene.
Nene is my best Nene, which is Denise Partridge. And so coming up next. Hey, let's take a picture. Look. Smile. I'm going to give you a quick break, okay? Because I want you to be fresh. Two things are going to happen next. After a short restroom break, let's take another picture. Look right there. After a short restroom break, Denise Partridge, legend in radio advertising sales and referral marketing and relationship marketing in general, will take the stage. Yay. Okay.